This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. Well, this is going to be interesting because I didn't notice that I was out of batteries on my little recorder. And I had some old batteries that I had already taken out, and those old batteries are really low, and we're going to see if we can just get home with one more recording. And if we can't, then we'll probably have to redo this tomorrow. But we're going to give it a shot, and we're going to see what happens. I have a fairly short time today. We need to go pick up kiddo from school, Aiden from school. Dad is running around trying to get a few things done, and so I'm going to go pick up the kiddo from school, and we'll go from there. Writing is going fine. I'm a few words behind today, but not many. I'm close, and I'll should have a long day of writing tomorrow because school is out tomorrow, and the daycare where we have been taking Aiden when we need a little extra help is at capacity at this point. And so they've said they can't watch Aiden on Friday when the school is out because it would put them off their ratios. So Aiden is going to be spending the day with us, which is always exciting for him because he just pretty much has to, you know, watch TV and do his own thing while we're doing our thing. But that's okay. That's all right. We're also, you know, investigating because there's two more days in November, early November, first week where the school is closed. Then, of course, they're closed week of Thanksgiving. And they're closed 2 weeks at December for Christmas break. And they're closed another week in March. And so we're going to try to get ahead of it on those things and ask Legacy if they have space where they could take him for those weeks. And we'll see. We'll see what will happen there. But it'll all work out. It always works out. Dustin is starting up on phase two this next week. And then it's 9 weeks of going, you know, so it'll be interesting to see how all that works out. Step at a time. So writing is good. Costumes, I'm coasting out the end of the year. So unless something comes up, I won't be doing any more new costumes the rest of this year. I do have a couple of costumes that were new last year, so those will be fun to revisit. It's actually maybe three. Because I've got No Shave November, which is a Cousin It costume, so that's fun. And that Pretend That You're a Time Traveler was new last year, and it's coming up. And then Pretend That You're a Storyteller, I think, is coming up as well. So lots of new stuff I'm going to have to dig out, remind myself what I did and how we got everything put together for it. The Time Traveler one is probably the most complicated one, because there's just a lot of batteries to charge and a lot of things that layer in, and then a big heavy backpack on that one so that I can put out the throbbing low pitch sound, you know, of engine rooms. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So, you know, it's fun. Hopefully all the electronics will power back up and everything will work fine. Probably the most complicated thing on that one is the fact that I'm carrying around a small little Raspberry Pi computer that can play an animation of what looks like sort of a companion AI, you know, up near my left shoulder. And so it's fun. It's fun. We'll get that all worked out. Aside from that, things are puttering along at work. No problems. We had a situation today where we had a ticket that was turned in to us yesterday. I don't know if it was actually filed yesterday, but it was turned in to us yesterday. And so I'm helping the young man who's doing the support calls for the next 2 weeks. And we start digging into it and digging through it. Mind you, we have made no changes to code. We start digging into it deeper and deeper. We dug into it, chased it all backwards, and eventually ended up running some stuff and deciding that there was absolutely nothing we could find wrong, that it all should be working. And lo and behold, today when we checked back in with the users, everything was fine. It just self-corrected, which is weird because we hadn't changed anything. I need to check and see if this thing is still recording. It looks like it is, so that's good. I have a very thin sliver of battery. So we'll get on with this in case this cuts out. So just kind of a short little thought I have been enjoying over the last multiple months, seeing people's reactions, and a lot of them are old, but seeing people's reactions to Jacob Collier. If you're not familiar with that, last name Collier, I believe, Jacob Collier. For those of you who might not be familiar with him, he is an outstanding musician. Just an incredible, incredible musician. Can do all sorts of things. Has the requisite perfect pitch, but he also has an extremely advanced sense of harmony and interactions, not only in Western music, but in microtonal music. A respectable songwriter at this point. I expect over the course of his life that he's just going to get better. A respectable lyricist. Really a towering intellect when it comes to harmony. I mean, just incredible. Really incredible. Very capable when it comes to playing instruments. Pretty much can play any instrument he puts his hand on. With just a little bit of remapping, apparently. He did retune the guitar strings on his guitar so that it would be easier for him to play the way he wanted to play. A very, very fascinating person. If you've never heard of Jacob Collier and would go like to kind of get a sample for his music, I would suggest people look up things on YouTube like Jacob Collier Moon River. He did a remix of Moon River that's an acapella that the first time I heard it, I just started laughing because it was so beautiful, and at points even started crying because it was so beautiful. There are other kind of more popular things that he has done. He did a series of things called the Magnolia Sessions, I think it's called. One in particular in the Magnolia Sessions is a little song called Little Blue. Very simple. With individuals, recruited a little choir. Does it all in one take. And really beautiful. He's also paired up with other singers, and there's Wild Mountain Time, I think it is. Wild Mountain Time. Which is really, it's just a beautiful exercise in singing, working with an orchestra, doing audience participation stuff, all wrapped up in the same song. And what has been particularly fun, he also has done remixes of Lionel Richie's works. And what is that? Well, my friends, the time has come. Throw away the work to be done. I think All Night Long is the name of that song. Really amazing arrangement of All Night Long. I mean, really amazing. Really highlights some of his capabilities as well as his ability to gain the respect of other musicians. I probably have told this story before, but it's been many months since I think I've talked about Jacob Collier. And maybe I should run this story again, just in case you haven't heard this story. Jacob Collier sat in his room and started putting out just little YouTube videos, remixes of things he did a cappella. I think when he was, 16, 17, 18 years old, sometime in there, just started landing these things on YouTube and quickly gaining popularity because they were amazing. Put together a record himself in his room, and I think it was called In My Room. And when Quincy Jones, the famed music producer, very talented, etc., etc., heard what he had put together in his room, he immediately wanted to sign Jacob Collier. And he asked his people to get in touch with Jacob Collier and, you know, see if he'd be interested in signing. And Jacob Collier, I believe, went to some place in Europe, Switzerland somewhere, because Quincy Jones was there at the time. Had a big long conversation about this. Mind you, this is the kid who I think at this point is in his late teens. I don't even think he's out of his teens yet. And Quincy Jones talked to them, and they talked about harmony, and they got along famously, and they got to the end of it, and Quincy Jones then asked him, you know, can I represent you? And Jacob Collier's response was, well, could we just be friends? So, opportunity of a lifetime, because Quincy Jones thinks you're talented. And Jacob Collier's response initially is, well, can we just be friends? So, of course he said yes. Now, as he kept exploding and, you know, people wanted more and more from him and they wanted him to do a tour and, you know, he decided, okay, well, maybe we'll do a tour and I'll, you know, do this one-person tour where I will just do all the stuff. Well, once you get into that level, he realized he needed some help. So I believe he got in touch with Quincy Jones at that point and said, hey, you know, people are saying I need to do this. And is this something you could help me with? And of course, they were happy to help. Okay, so that's kind of the background on Jacob Collier. One of the things I seriously love about Jacob Collier is watching people who are doing reaction videos to his stuff, and they are experiencing him for the first time. I mean, really, it's usually just oodles of fun to watch them, because for want of a more technical term, when people who are musicians hear Jacob Collier for the first time, their usual reaction is to be gobsmacked. I mean, just astonished by the kid's level of, he's in his early 20s now, by the kid's level of sophistication and maturity. And they watch his authenticity when he performs. And he does seem to be just generally a very, very nice person, aside from being incredibly talented. So, why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because Jacob Collier is one of those people, and I have said to multiple people that I believe that Jacob Collier is our Mozart. He is that one in a gajillion combination. Granted, he came from good stock, okay? His mom's a musician, orchestral director, I don't know exactly what his dad's stuff was, but I mean, he came from good stock. So, and he seemingly was raised really well. Seemingly, you know, loves at least his mom. I haven't heard him talk much about his dad, but, you know, seems to be in good shape there as well. And the thing about it that I love about this is that often I heard this leveled against Billie Eilish and her brother, you know, when they had all that success, that one of the things that was leveled against them as well, this again just shows, you know, white privilege, because if this had been African-American children, you know, they wouldn't have access to things like Logic and those types of things that allowed them to do what they were doing. So, because this kind of gets back to, let me see if this is still recording. Yes, it's still recording. Yay. So, because this is kind of the thing that gets leveled by those who are always looking for excuses, by those who are always trying to conform life down to some sort of tribalism, is, well, the only reason they were able to succeed is because they had access to privilege and they could have these, you know, sophisticated software things that, you know, your average person is not going to have access to. So that's why they succeeded. But I love Jacob Collier because it doesn't matter what the background of the musician is. When they're reacting to Jacob Collier, they are all, everyone that I've seen, they are all gobsmacked. Because he is a phenomenon. And more than just gobsmacked, it is not unusual for them to start crying when they're listening to him, because there is a quality in a lot of his music that is just utterly beautiful. And it's not because he was white and he just happened to have some privilege, and it's not because, well, there are thousands of people around the world that are just underprivileged and that's the only reason they haven't achieved what he's achieved. Uniformly, musicians, when they hear him, just go, wow. Anyone who knows music knows that this young man is operating at a different level. You know, he's, I don't know if I would say he's an order of magnitude, but he's additively higher levels than anyone around him. It's just incredible. The talent. And for me, you know, this is just one way that it's easy to put the lie to tribalism and to oppressor and oppressed narratives, and to say, yeah, there's more going on here than what just justifies the fact that not everybody is under this load of believing that they're oppressed. Because there's a whole bunch of white kids that are supposedly privileged, and none of them can put out the music that Jacob Collier puts out. And what that means is there is something inherent in him as an individual, some unique combination of genetics and of upbringing. And maybe if he had existed in another household, maybe if his mom wasn't an orchestral director, you know, maybe there would have been a difference. But what makes Jacob Collier Jacob Collier is the unique combinations of who he is as an individual. And it's not the fact that he's white. And as, you know, Brent Weinstein and Heather Hayne have said over and over when we're talking about cancel culture and those types of things, they would use the phrase zero as a special number. Because they would say, if you can get all the prominent social media people to cancel everybody, then you've got power. But all you need is for one person, for one company to decide they're going to treat people fairly. And as soon as you get that one in there, it's no longer zero as a special number. Now, you've got one that's out there, and people start flocking to that one because it is fairer, and at that point, everything starts falling. So you can only keep this narrative going as long as there is zero disagreement and zero things that don't show how false this narrative is. And as soon as you have one where you have to say, you know what, this person as an individual is astonishing, and it doesn't matter what their race is, doesn't matter what tribe they belong to, we can all agree this person is astonishing. When you have that one person, then, if you continue to beat the drum on tribalism, then it's simply because you want to beat the drum on tribalism, not because you're interested in the truth. And that's why I'm really glad that Jacob Collier is around. Because he just puts the lie to the fact that you can immediately know everything you need to know about a person simply by looking at the color of his skin. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.
And we're still going. We made it.